Welcome to another issue of Mighty Marvel Geeks. It's the last issue for 2014.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., we are taking our winter finale.
Yeah. After this week, we will be off the next 2 weeks for Christmas and New Year's, returning the first Saturday after New Year's. At Disney, we call that Marathon Weekend.
Marathon Weekend.
Yeah, because that's when the marathon happens.
Okay. Where I come from, we call that "God, I don't want this weekend to end."
Well, we're not back on the 2nd or the 3rd of January. It'll be the following week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because when we usually record is actually New Year's Day, and I think we got other plans.
You're actually right. Okay.
Yeah, I'll be recovering.
We can't do that. That would just be.
I'll be recovering from New Year's Eve the night before. That's not drinking. That's working.
Yeah. Dude, I do not envy you your job. I have been at your workplace on New Year's Eve, and I will never willingly do that again.
World's largest amateur hour.
There you go.
So,
okay, so let's recap us some stuff. If we're closing out the year, which I'm guessing we'll get to that later, but Marvel news never takes a holiday.
No, it doesn't. Okay, I'm going to kind of break the magic here a little bit. We record usually on Thursday nights, so this show's ready for Saturday. Because of personal matters of my own, I'm taking vacation.
Sorry, Scalawag, having the gall to take vacation.
I know. We're literally recording 2 days in a row. But just in 24 hours since we last recorded, oh my lord, the news.
The news and
stories. Holy cow. I mean, it's still a great show. And this is all stuff that is worth talking about now. I mean, it's going to be relevant. So I apologize in advance if we don't get any other news that comes out after this. But I think we still got some good stuff here.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. Come on.
So Marvel is looking. Okay, I'm just going to say, to preface this, Latino review.
Yeah.
To say Latino review, we might as well be saying
Hail Hydra.
To some extent.
If you're saying the words Latino review, I'm saying Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. That's what I'm saying. You can be Hail Hydra-ing all over you. Want you over there, but I'm just kind of like, you know, roll them dice. Let's hear what they're saying.
What they're saying. This is good. Latino Review is reporting further on the possibility of, you know, what's coming out of SonyGate with the email hack.
Okay, that's a hashtag right there, SonyGate.
We'll have to throw that in the show notes. It could be, yeah. That Spider-Man's rights sharing deal between Marvel Studios and Sony Pictures, that there's some sticking points that might be preventing the deal from going through. And we talked about this on last week's show, in which I want to say we talked about this last night.
Yes.
For the sake of the show, we talked about this last week.
We talked about it on the last episode. For us, that was 24 hours ago. For y'all, that was 7 days.
Please. Figure that one out. Leave us a note at mmg@weebiegeeks.net, and we'll add you to the show notes, sort of like at the end of the comics, you know, letter to the...
Yeah.
So
your note prize is in the mail.
While the deal, according to the Latino Review, while the deal would see the two studios sharing rights to the character 60-40, Marvel wants to obtain complete creative control and start from a clean slate. I'm okay with that. I have no problems with them bringing back Gwen Stacy as part of that and building that whole storyline again. To me, Amazing Spider-Man, chick flick. And it's hard for me to say that about a superhero movie.
I think something more drastic than some hacked emails is going to have to happen for Marvel to get Spider-Man back from Sony in any way, shape, or form. So even if this happens, I think Marvel just, let's say, you know, the Plague of Locusts show up today and the rights go back tomorrow. I think Marvel still needs to sit on Spider-Man for a while afterwards.
Right.
To let all this, you know, kind of blow over. And I hate to say it, but I think you do need to reboot him. Give him a fresh start. Not against what Sony has done over the years with Tobey Maguire and then also with Garfield, but that's their stuff.
Right.
Bring, you know, get the Marvel stuff in. This way, this is similar to what Lucasfilm has done with the expanded universe. It's like, all right, that happened over there. We're not going to monkey with these stories, but we're going to bring them over here. We're going to give them a new fresh coat of paint, and we're going to start making new stories with them. But I think there's still an inherent danger with that, because you keep rebooting a character over and over and over again, people are going to get tired of it. One word, Batman. Another word, Superman. How many times have those two been rebooted over the years? And we're almost to the point, like, who cares?
Well, I think with Superman, cinematic-wise, Superman Returns wasn't necessarily a reboot. They just turned around and came in and said, look, disregard 3 and 4. We're the proper 3. And it blew chunks as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a horrible script.
Yeah.
So what they're saying is, in other words, they don't want to bring Spider-Man from the Amazing Spider-Man film franchise into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They want to create their own character, their own version of the character from scratch. This would include casting a brand new Peter Parker. And some of this is part of the reason why Sony's going, no.
I hate to say it, but that's probably the same. That's probably what goes along with the idea of the reboot,
right?
Because, and it's gonna bite to be Andrew Garfield, because I don't think he did that bad of a job.
No, I liked his Spider-Man. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I like Tobey Maguire's as well.
Yeah,
I mean, they brought different variations to it. I mean, we're talking the difference between, like in the cartoon, Ultimate Spider-Man and Spectacular Spider-Man.
Yeah,
I mean, they were both great renditions of the character, and each has their own place. But I agree. I think starting over. Because one of the big things with this would be Marvel Studios would also shelve Sony's plans for any spinoff movies. And the one they happen to mention is the Aunt May solo film, which I'm still going, okay. And the spinoff that was said to be led by female Spider-Man characters.
If you want to put in there Jessica Drew as Spider-Woman, go ahead. If you're just rearranging everything that you've built up just because, oh, we're being edgy, we're pushing the envelope, look at us, we have a woman Spider-Man, it's like, please, there's just no way to do it. There's just no reason to do it.
Right.
There's no way to get along.
Yes.
Okay, just, I have no idea why, but all of a sudden, I have a video going through my head. And I'm trying to figure out, I'm getting some kind of video in my ears, and it's a Verizon commercial. Yes. Okay, good. That's over with. The voices in my head have quietened and backed down.
Sort of like the voices that were in my head last week.
Yeah, for real.
Now, supposedly all this is part of Marvel's efforts to distance themselves from any Spider-Man film that they make from what has come before. The studio reportedly feels that Spider-Man origin stories and romance-driven films have been done, so they want to introduce a teenage Peter Parker who already has a superhero career as Spider-Man.
I don't know how I feel about that. On the one hand, it would be great if he was a teenager, because think about all the other major characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're all grown-ups.
Right.
They're all, you know, I guess, really, that Tony would be the youngest of most of them.
I think so.
He'd be the closest to his childhood. Well, he's still reliving his childhood in many ways, but it would be good to have a younger character in there. And plus, when Spider-Man started out, what was he? He was in high school.
Right.
So it makes sense there. Do we need an origin movie? Not really. I mean, we all know Radioactive Spider, Chomp. Oh, my God, I have powers.
Right. Well, to me, at this point in time, it almost sounds like this is a perfect vehicle for Marvel to go. Spider-Man movie? Christopher Nolan. Because look what he did with the origin and retelling the origin story in Batman Begins.
I don't know. No. I'm just going to tell you that no. Because Christopher Nolan is good when it comes to putting together a dark and brooding, uber-serious, butt-kicking superhero. That's not Spider-Man.
Right.
Spider-Man is wisecracking, Weisenheimer, can't take anything serious. That's his charm.
Right.
I would look for anybody else, but no.
Well, I guess maybe I was thinking more of if they took the approach like Christopher Nolan did with Batman Begins. Okay, we got to cover the origin. Here's the brief synopsis, but we see more of the him, of Bruce Wayne with the training in the beginning and tying into a little bit with Ra's al Ghul since they went that route. Maybe we see briefly, okay, here he is getting bit, flash forward now into the career. We don't need to cover everything else. He gets bit. Yeah. You know, just a quick flash through.
If you want to do a flashback, that'd be fine too.
Right. Now, Latino Review also states that Marvel Studios, now I just want to change it. The Hydra Review has also stated that Marvel Studios has not completed the script for Captain America Civil War. I just got one thing to say. Duh. They just announced it. They got to finish Ant-Man. We're talking 2016 is when Civil War comes out. They got after the first of the year to start working on that script. And I think we're okay with that. Because it's not going to take that long to film it.
No, I agree with you. It's not. This is where you try to pump up the drama to get readership. It's kind of like, oh my God, it's not going to rain tomorrow. Well, it rained yesterday. So what?
Right.
So it's kind of like, oh my God, they don't have it written yet. So, yeah. But you know, hey, that could be something accurate that they actually did. So.
True. So for that, we say,
okay, do them for him too.
Good idea.
On to the next story, I guess.
Okay. It doesn't quite tie in, except, you know, we'll file this under Sucks to Be You, Dude, going from It Sucks to Be Andrew Garfield to It Sucks to Be Gentleman by the Name of Daniel Cudmore. And for those of you who don't recognize that name, he played Colossus in X-Men Days of Future Past. He has just recently confirmed on his Twitter account that his character will not be featured in the next film. He also says that 20th Century Fox has not spoken to him about bringing back the original X-Men cast for a new film. He says he honestly does not know either way. His exact quote was somebody tweeted him and asked, will we see Colossus again in X-Men Apocalypse? He says, unfortunately, I don't think so. But he did say, when somebody else asked him, would you like to be in the Deadpool movie? He said, does a bear crap in the woods? Of course, he used a different version of crap, but, you know.
Right.
I'm not seeing much possibility that many of the original cast members are going to be in Apocalypse. You know, yeah. It's just either these, and it makes sense because how old is the X-Men franchise now?
Pretty old.
It's pretty old. Now, you could have been, like, let's take Famke Janssen. Why am I saying Jackson? Famke Janssen, who played Jean Grey in the first one, she looked young.
Right.
She looked really young. Ellen Page, who was Shadowcat, she looked really young. They don't quite look so young anymore.
Yeah, this is true.
So either they're letting go of the characters or they're going back to younger versions and they just can't keep it.
Right.
And I really hate to say it, but you had to have seen this coming when you have, let's go back in time. Let's have the younger Magneto and the younger Professor Xavier. Oh, well, this is working out pretty good.
Right.
So. I just don't think you're going to see it, except for Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Right.
You about can't.
We're going to say 14 years because the first X-Men came out in 2000.
Okay, there it is.
So for who is it who plays Colossus again?
David Cudmore. Daniel Cudmore. Daniel Cudmore.
For Daniel, all we can say is...
rejection. How I missed you.
That's about it. I mean, to That kind of blows.
Yeah, which is sad because I really liked Colossus in the comics and in the films.
Right. So. Well, another thing that's kind of been rejected, so to speak, is James Gunn has nixed the idea of an Avengers-Guardians crossover. Part of this, so now that Guardians is just as popular and just as successful as the Avengers, in an interview, Gunn talked about Guardians in relation to the Avengers. And he said, "We really are separate from the Avengers, and I don't think people should assume too many things about the Guardians' play in all this. We have our own galaxy to take care of. We have our own galaxy to save. Earth is the Avengers' province. Thinking that everything is going to come together in a perfect way is not necessarily the way it's going to happen." So does that kind of kill Infinity War?
I don't think so, especially when you take into account that a while back, not too long ago, he was kind of singing a different story. He said he left that door wide open for a Guardians and Avengers crossover. And it doesn't have to be all the Avengers and all the Guardians together.
Right.
I mean, you could have Star-Lord and Yondu show up on Earth just in time to meet up with the Avengers.
Right.
But if I were to hazard a guess, his earlier comments kind of spooked some suits up at Marvel.
Right.
And they probably just, like, you know, pulled them over to the side and says, you know, "Hey, James, you kind of need to, you kind of need to cool off on that, because we really don't want to let that stuff get out. We don't want to be giving people the wrong thing."
Right.
But.
So, as you said, you know, it is possible James got in trouble for speaking a little too freely.
Yeah.
You know, that whole loose lips sink ships type deal, and Captain America gets frozen on ice. Okay.
You can't tell me that the suits at Marvel aren't thinking Guardians and Avengers crossover.
Oh, yeah. I mean look how soon Captain America and Guardians, I mean, they come out within a year of each other. And it's still all before Avengers Infinity War.
And if they come out that close to each other, who's to say that the events in one won't be affecting the events in the other? Because, as they say, it's all connected.
And right now, the common thread is Thanos. Mm-hmm. So
that's a pretty big thread.
Oh, yeah. So, speaking of threads, what does the winter finale mean for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? What's it mean to the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Okay. Seeing a lot of stuff float around, and obviously we know that the blue alien in the tube is Kree.
Yep.
And we quote-unquote know that the city underneath San Juan is Atlan.
Right.
And if you've got Atlan or Atlan, what... Yeah, this is how we pronounce it in the South. "Well, we're going to the ancient city of Atlan." That's kind of like Atlanta, only different. But
it's sort of like Atlantis, but not underwater.
Yeah, well, part of it is underwater, see, because they only had that one air shaft they could get in right there, and it was right there on the beach. But, all right, anyway, that's enough. No, if you've got the city of Atlan, you've got Inhumans.
Oh, yeah.
And if you've got Inhumans, you have your vehicle for Civil War.
If you have Inhumans, you have that movie coming out in 2019.
That too.
So
really, I think the winter finale opened the door to a lot more than we thought when we were watching it air.
Right.
Because you've got, and I'm just going to go ahead and say it, the theory that we discussed in the previous episode makes way too much sense. And you see some of the cast members of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming out, and they're not saying it in so many words, but they're pretty much confirming it.
Right.
That Sky, her, is actually the character known as Quake.
Right.
And that her dad is the character known as Mr. Hyde. So, if this diviner is not something to bring about an extinction event, as Agent Morse put it, but rather it reacts to those who are worthy by granting them superpowers. So now you have Sky becoming Quake, you have Reyna becoming God knows what.
Right.
You know, so, you have this, and let's forget when Trip died. It wasn't the crystals or the mist, the fog, the stuff, which would have to be the Terrigen mist. I believe that's what you call it, which is basically the airborne aerosol super soldier serum kind of
right.
You know, power bestower. So you have the Terrigen Mist flowing around. Trip's in there with the two of them. Trip is not getting affected by the mist, which harkens back to the fact that it affects people with the inhuman DNA. This is how, because I've said this before on the show, you can't do Civil War without mutes.
Right.
Because they're playing such a vital role. Well, you don't have mutants, you have inhumans. So something's going to happen. This is my prediction. Something is going to happen after the finale where all this Terrigen Mist gets blown up into the atmosphere. And you start having people going super all over the place. And it'll be, or even if it's not global, it's still going to be enough people to where you're going to have the issue of Civil War.
Right. Is this what we're going to potentially see with Avengers Age of Ultron? What leads to that?
It might be.
So
that is something that you could see from Ultron. You see come out of Ultron.
Yep.
If Ultron is buying into the Hydra propaganda that, oh, well, this is a weapon that's going to destroy people. Okay, cool. I want to destroy people. Let's release it. Oh, crap. It just makes them super.
To me, the funny thing about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is with the announcements of Phase 3 and the fact that yep. there's an Inhumans movie, and now they're tying in Inhumans into the show, they're almost guaranteeing, I mean, this is ABC almost saying, look, the show's going to stay no matter how bad the ratings get, because we're now going to tie this all the way into all of Phase 3 and the Inhumans, and then we'll figure it out from there. Now, the cast might change, obviously.
Yeah, the cast does change.
So, I mean, eventually Coulson's going to drop out, go to a new grouping.
Coulson can't drop out. Coulson cannot drop out. I'm sorry.
I agree, but I can see Marvel doing that, though.
Look, I realize there are Whedons at work on this show, which means that characters you love are going to die.
Right.
We've already had that. Coulson's already died. He's come back. He's been a casualty of the Whedon pen.
That was before the series. Well, yeah. Movie and then brought back to life in the show.
Yeah, see, there you go.
So, well, talking about dying and coming back, we're going to take a quick break. I know that. Well, this half of the show is now dead, and we have to now go to Tahiti to come back.
Well, it is a magical place. Okay, I'm rubbing off on you, dude.
No.
I don't remember you doing these kind of lame jokes before I come along.
I guess, didn't have the opportunity.
Okay.
So,
all right.
This is Mike and Eric with Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio, and we'll be right back.
Crisis for the geek kind. Top geek officials admit they underestimated the hipster's defense capability. Join the geek revolution and save the galaxy. Geeks from all over the globe are joining up to fight for the future. They're doing their part. Are you? Want to know more? Join We Be Geeks and the Geek Revolution and save the world. Service guarantees citizenship. Listen to We Be Geeks podcast on iTunes and Stitcher or online at WeBeGeeks.net. We Be Geeks, your voice for the Geek Revolution. Want to know more?
Welcome to the new sound of Sorcerer Radio. Version 3.0.
Sorcerer Radio presents the Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0.
We have the technology.
Check out our brand new Sorcerer Radio app for all iDevices as well as Android devices.
Better, stronger, faster.
Streaming Disney music 24/7. App highlights include a new broadcast window that shows you what you're listening to and what's coming up next. Multitasking so you can listen to SR as well as perform other tasks on your iPhone.
Gorge!
Listener access to all of our daily shows. The new interface, a new buffered stream, auto reconnect when signal is lost, visual EQ, pause, rewind, and scrub features.
My goodness!
And the new SR info area. Get your virtual Disney World fix today with the new Sorcerer Radio app version 3.0 from Sorcerer Radio.
Be careful with that! It's extremely dangerous.
SRSounds.com.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your source for the Force.
Star Wars news and commentary.
With Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack.
I've seen Star Wars 500 times.
Weekly live shows and podcasts.
RFR.
Like Rebel Force Radio on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Rebel Force Radio.
Your new source for the Force.
Rebel Force Radio with Jason Swank and Jimmy Mack. Saturdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Sorcerer Radio. SRSounds.com.
Chip and Company is your daily Disney fix for Disney news, park planning, giveaways, and so much more. Visit our friends from Chip and Company at chipandco.com to get you up to date on all things Disney.
A magic beyond anything you could ever imagine.
Meet the Magic is a site where you can find Disney sites, blogs, and find new Disney friends. Learn how to save money or make your trip more magical.
Prepare to have your senses awakened.
Visit meetthemagic.com and follow her on Twitter at Meet the Magic, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
It's an adventure too magical to miss.
Woohoo! That was scary.
Dan Barnes here, inviting you to take a ride with me on an all-new edition of E-Ticket Time. I'll be playing the best ride-through audio from all your favorite Walt Disney World attractions. No fast pass required here. Just tune in Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, only on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com.
I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Are you a fan of Disney, Star Wars, and Marvel? Well, look no further than JediMouseketeer.com. On this geeky fan site, you'll find the latest news, videos, information on movies, comics, and more. Check out JediMouseketeer.com and follow him on Twitter at JediMouseketeer, a proud partner of Sorcerer Radio.
Remember, the Force will be with you, always.
Getting ready for your next visit to Walt Disney World? Well, why not check out Disney Trip Tips Fridays at 1 p.m. on Sorcerer Radio at srsounds.com with me, Sandy Alexander. Disney favorites from the parks, resorts, movies, and TV, and the tips that the family and I have used on our many visits to Walt Disney World. And if you have any tips or photos you'd like to share, you can post them at the Disney Trip Tips Facebook page. You can even follow me on Twitter at Disney Trip Tips. Disney Trip Tips on Sorcerer Radio. All Disney music all day long. SR Sounds.
And welcome back to Mighty Marvel Geeks here on Sorcerer Radio. It's Mike and Eric. Bless our life model decoys with the way this show's been going so far.
You have reached the life model decoy of Eric Allen. Your call is very important to us, so please stay on the line, and the real Eric will be with you shortly. Your place in line is number 3478.
You have reached the life model decoy of Tony Stark. Please leave a message.
Fine, you have to outdo me on that one.
Yours was better.
Oh, thank you.
Yours was better. But, you know, secrets, secrets, secrets.
You think Fury's hiding something? He's a spy. Captain, he's the spy. His secrets have secrets.
Well,
Marvel... That's probably one of the best lines of the movie. And yeah, it's a throwaway line.
Yeah.
It's not the line that gets the attention, but it's just, it sums up Fury so well in one sentence.
Yeah, well, I kind of did that because Marvel Studios has released new details on both plot and characters for the upcoming Ant-Man movie.
Ant-Man!
The new synopsis reads as follows. The next evolution of the Marvel Cinematic Universe brings a founding member of the Avengers to the big screen. And for the first time with the Marvel Studios Ant-Man, armed with the astonishing ability to shrink in scale, the increase in strength, Master Thief Scott Lang must embrace his inner hero and help his mentor, Dr. Hank Pym, protect the secret behind his spectacular Ant-Man suit. I almost said Spider-Man.
Yeah, I was wondering. Spider, Ant, what's the difference? Just a couple of extra legs.
So, protect the secret behind his spectacular Ant-Man suit from a new generation of towering threats. Against seemingly insurmountable obstacles, Pym and Lang must plan and pull off a heist that will save the world.
So it's kind of like Ocean's 11, in a way.
In a way. I was thinking Pink Panther movies.
If you could pull that off. No, the thing I like about the Pink Panther movies is, like, he saves the world in spite of himself.
Right. Oh, in many ways, that's what Scott Lang does, because it's
true.
And if he doesn't, it'd be dead ant, dead ant, dead ant, dead ant, dead ant.
I was so hoping you weren't going with that.
Oops.
Get there. They're just trying to draw in a bad pin.
So Marvel has also revealed the names of the remaining cast members in the film and confirmed a few more additions that were never reported, including Bobby Cannavale as Paxton, Michael Pena as Lewis, Judy Greer as Maggie, Tip, quote-unquote, Ty Harris as Dave, David Dasmalchian.
It looks like it should be pronounced Dasmalchian.
Okay, Dasmalchian as Kurt, Wood Harris as Gail, and Jordi Mola as Castillo. This helps us nada. Mm. Sure, nope. Just give us first names. That really helps.
It can sound like Mouseketeer roll call. Also starring in Ant-Man are Bobby, Michael, Judy, Tip, David, Wood, and Jordi.
Yeah, so... As we know, Ant-Man stars Paul Rudd as Scott Lang, a.k.a. Ant-Man. Evangeline Lilly as Hope Van Dyne. Corey Stoll as Darren Cross, a.k.a. Yellow Jacket. And Michael Douglas as the Beaver. I mean, Dr. Hank Pym. So what do you think of the synopsis?
I think it really did absolutely nothing to answer any questions or shed really even much more light on the whole thing. To quote every single Star Wars movie out there, I got a bad feeling about this. Not in a fantastic flop kind of way, but just this.
I have a really bad feeling about this.
Yeah, that one. Because it just sounds like they're hedging their bets. They're just trying to their best not to hype this movie.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, oh dear God, we don't want you to get excited about it because we know deep down you're just going to be disappointed when you walk out of that theater, and it's just going to be our fault because we told you it was going to be good.
Well, it's either that or they're afraid it might turn into another Guardians, and right now there's no plans to bring a sequel to it in Phase 3. I mean, it would have to hold off until Phase 4. That's a long way away.
That is a long way away. You could have, like, Ant-Man, the Next Generation.
This is true. Ant-Man, Voyager.
The great thing is, by the time that a slot opens up in Phase 4 or something, it'll be long enough to where you could actually do a reboot and get away with it.
Sure. Here we go. Sequel. Ant-Man, Deep Hill 9. No? Okay.
That's a little region. I am so glad this is like the last show of the year. we get to reboot after the holidays.
Well, since that was considered a really bad joke, let's kind of hit best and worst in the Marvel universe. Yeah, I guess that's enough to call it broad.
So does this already disqualify as worst synopsis of the year?
Or is
that still going to go to Fantastic Flop?
No, I'll give it to Ant-Man. Okay. I mean, at least with Fantastic Flop, we got some info.
Okay.
And a little bit more idea about the plot.
Okay.
So let's start off with comics.
Okay.
2014, best comics from Marvel.
From me, best comic is going to be Captain America 1.
Okay.
Mainly because, yes, Sam gets a chance to be the Captain America. And in today's Marvel universe, being Captain America is like the shizzle. I mean,
right.
he is the flagship. He is the flag bearer in more ways than one. And so I think that's a momentous decision, a momentous change because, okay, yes, you have,
oh my goodness, it's a black man being Captain America.
No, it's not. There is that to a degree, but the fact that Sam is black, I don't want to say it's not important, but I would see reasons that are more important that he be chosen to take on the uniform, take on the mantle of Captain America.
Right.
He is not a character like some others that have been created and exist only to take over for him temporarily.
Right.
Which has happened in the past. You know, two words for you, John Walker. So you have an established character who has been his friend and his partner for quite a while. So it makes sense that he would take over. And you don't have the baggage that Bucky would have / Winter Soldier. So, yes, we know eventually that Steve Rogers will find a way to come back as Captain America. Because it's kind of like where there's just some characters you don't permanently retire. Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, Steve Rogers.
Michael Eisner.
Yes,
wait, never mind.
No, 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 no. Okay, I'll take obscure Disney CEO references for 100, Alex. Well, he's not really that obscure, but anyway, I just think that's a great idea because you know who he is. He's got a history. You don't have to sell his backstory because you already know it, but it's still, it's going to bring a unique set of challenges to it. And I think that's probably the best use out of comics all year long.
For me with Marvel, I think my best book or comic would be Ms. Marvel number one.
Really?
When it was announced, of course, the media grabbed right onto it. Miss Marvel will be a Islamic teenager. And it, to me, it felt like the media was trying to turn it into a story that it came, it happened, all still well in the world. Everything's fine. The book's doing great. There's no issues. We don't hear it anymore about it because all of a sudden now we're getting, oh, Thor is a female. Okay, well, let's don't talk about the fact that this happened several other times. So, yeah, crossing that, I guess, religious line and introducing a Islamic superhero now, you know, with an Islamic character taking over the role of Miss Marvel, and, you know, everything's still good in the world. There's no harm, no foul. I think it was a smart move. It didn't, you know, obviously didn't affect anything. It just so happens, okay, she's Islamic. No big deal. So the costume changes some. That's fine. But I thought it was a bold move. Marvel handled it and played it well. Me personally, it was a great read. I really enjoyed the book. It was a great introduction, great story of one of those, you know, I've got enough problems being a Islamic teenager in this world. Now you're throwing it to where I've got bigger problems in the galaxy as well. Thanks.
There's a saying out there that I think that I love throwing out, and it's some people are born to greatness, others have greatness thrust upon. I love stories about the latter.
Right.
It's not like, hey, I want to be a hero. It's I had to be.
Right. And that's the way this book is.
Yeah.
So
good deal.
Now, best, you know, we know Marvel's done a lot of 5-issue story arcs over the years. Favorite miniseries from Marvel.
Favorite miniseries from Marvel. Figment.
Okay. I would agree, but I would also go just to give another option. And again, it was very enjoyable, and you have proof that I have read it. All new Dupe. I'm going to go Dupe.
Okay.
So right. So we have Figment and Dupe. Best Marvel movie of the year.
Dude, I'm sure other people will have different answers. For me, the B of the year was Guardians, just simply because it departed so dramatically from all the others. Right. I mean, it opened up the Marvel Cinematic Universe in so many ways. All right, it took him off Earth. You're no longer bound to Earth. It started a new franchise with characters that weren't popular in the comics already.
Right.
It opened it up in the fact this was not a superhero movie. It's like I keep telling people, it's the Dirty Dozen in space.
Yeah.
And it just has a completely different feel. And I just think those people wasn't expecting a whole lot of it.
Right.
I'll
agree with you. I mean, runner up, I would say Captain America. But my only issue with Guardians for me was, I think advertising wise, it was almost a little overhyped. It's maybe it's because I was expecting, because of all the hype, I was expecting a little bit more than what I actually got. Still a great film, and I'm not going to take away from that. And it was brilliantly done. And I think, you know, everyone says X-Men Days of Future Past is the perfect comic book movie adaptation. Okay, if you're taking an actual storyline and twisting it, it's probably the closest you're going to get. But to rank a superhero movie, at this point in time, Superman, Christopher Reeve, is still one. Batman, Michael Keaton, is two.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
And three, on how to do a superhero film right, Guardians of the Galaxy.
But it's not a superhero movie.
True. It isn't.
It's a comic book movie. It's not a superhero movie.
Okay, then let me rephrase it that way then. how to do the proper comic book movie. Your best examples, Christopher Reeve, Superman, Keaton, Batman, Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm sure there's other books out there that could be brought up. You know, 300, Sin City, Watchmen. Oh, Watchmen was no.
Great story, but that
was so far off. I mean, I totally understand why Alan Moore was disappointed and has said, no, you're not taking any more of my stories and converting them. I pull all rights.
I mean, I understand his side of the story. I also understand from the filmmaker side of it to where main points where it differed from the book. It was a little bit too hard to tell. But yeah. that's neither that's here nor there.
Right.
That's not running a DC show. I mean, right. It's...
So, TV-wise, I guess the only thing we have is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, but I will say this. I am enjoying this season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a whole lot more than I was the first half of last year.
Oh, yes.
So...
See, they S.H.I.E.L.D. didn't really kick in until
Winter Soldier.
Until, I would say, starting with the Lady Sif episode.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
Or starting with when Sky gets shot.
Okay.
That's when the show picked up. And that's when season one, to me, really began.
You know, during one of our first shows back after, or maybe right before Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. comes back off their hiatus, I think we need to kind of just take a look and dissect that TV show to date.
Yeah.
If nothing else, just to recap all the places, all the things, all the people that they have incorporated from the Marvel Universe that maybe we didn't recognize right off the bat.
Well, we got till March.
Yeah.
So, because it comes back in March, I believe.
It does. It comes back in March. I think we need to.
So, yeah. So, game platform. Yeah, best Marvel game. This covers all platforms.
I am going to go ahead and just call Disney Infinity 2.0.
Okay.
Yes, it's got Disney's name on it, but what was the draw this year? Marvel. You have the Avengers. You have Spider-Man. You have Guardians of the Galaxy. And this is really the first time can get in and play as these characters. And yes, you've been able to play as these characters before in games like, you know, Avengers Alliance and what have you. But the way you get to play with these characters and the way you get to interact with the game world, I think it's just far and away. I liked it better. Your mileage may vary, but I liked it better than any other Marvel game I have played.
Since I have not been able to play that, because I don't have a Wii U or a next gen where I can,
gotcha.
I'm going to go the mobile route. And this is a game that just came out this week, Marvel's Contest of Champions.
Mm.
If you're familiar with Angry Birds Epic, if you're familiar with Injustice, Gods Among Us, this is kind of almost a blend of the two.
I can see that.
Your fighting action is like Injustice, but you also do a little quest to get new characters or complete quests to get new characters. It's almost like Angry Birds Epic, you know, where you go from here to here, battle this person, go to here, this person, complete the quest, and then you move on, you complete so many quests, you then complete the quest challenge. So, it's very enjoyable.
Good
and,
deal.
Of course, one of my first characters in the game was Hawkeye. And I'm good with that. Best, see, I'm not gonna say worst on this one, because that's just not fair. But best show guest for this year.
I can say without a doubt that the interview that I enjoyed the most listening to the show before I came in, and I was a fan before I became, you know, before I got involved with it, was Jim Zub from Figment. I loved his insight into it. I loved the fact that he researched the original version of Journey into Imagination, and it just, I could have listened to him for another hour or two.
Okay. Be honest with you, I think one of my favorites for me was Brian Crosby.
Okay.
One, because we got that one exclusive that I think every other Marvel or Disney-based show, be it podcast or radio show or internet radio show, we got that one exclusive that no one else got. You know, talking about the Iron Man experience. in Hong Kong.
Yeah, I remember that one too, and that one was good. When I say my favorite has been Zub, that is not meant to disparage any other guests on the show this year. That one just I felt connected to it more than the Ups, just because the Imagination Pavilion was one of my all-time favorites.
Right.
Back when it was in its original trippy, acidy, you know, wee, look at the colors kind of way.
Right. I guess for me, I mean, with Brian is the fact that, you know, it was being a cast member, him being an Imagineer, being in entertainment myself, it was one of those, okay, behind the scenes stuff, and I thrive on that. Now, as we've talked, Haunted Mansion in the dark,
yeah,
not a problem. So, you know, I'm just gonna leave it on a positive. We did our best. Let's get into this. Is gonna be we're gonna cover 2 weeks this week with this.
Okay.
That's New Comic Book Day. This year it's Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve are the 2 days we're going to cover. I'm going to say
I've got three for the 2 week section.
I have three for the 2 week section as well.
Okay. So any of you who think we're going to do three for each week, well, I'm just sorry to disappoint you.
So I'll go first. My first pick is Hawkeye versus Deadpool number 3.
That sounds good.
The baddest brawlers in Brooklyn continue to tear up the town with the next issue of Hawkeye versus Deadpool. So Black Cat's been brainwashing goons and dressing them up as superheroes, huh? Good thing Hawkeye and Deadpool are on the case. If they could stop fighting amongst each other, that is. So that's Hawkeye versus Deadpool.
That sounds like a lot of fun. My first pick of the holidays period is Nova number 25. With an Axis tie-in, oversized, monumental 25th issue, and great jumping on point. Things are changing for Sam Alexander, a.k.a. Nova, the Human Rocket. So get on board to the fastest-moving comic in the business. I'm sorry, I have nothing against Sam, but Nova will always be Richard Rider.
Yeah. My second pick might be a theme here. It's also an Axis tie-in. Deadpool number 39. You heard right. Since the events of Axis inverted him, Deadpool has gone zen. He found peace. He swore off violence. So how is he going to help his friends live through the inverted X-Men?
That just sounds too screwball to miss.
Exactly.
Me
and my knack of picking the oddities.
Yeah. My second choice is also another Axis tie-in. It is Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 9. Just like the Prisoner.
Number nine.
Loki, swashbuckling savior of truth and justice, versus Lorelei, the scheming sister of the noble enchantress. Once in a time Loki would rather forget, these two were allies. Now, Loki must bring Lorelei in or die trying. Also featuring the base villainy of Thor, Marvel's brutish god of evil.
Well, my final pick for the year. Wow, it's hard to believe we're saying for the year.
For the year.
For the year. This actually will release on the final day of the year, on New Year's Eve, and I have a funny feeling.
Say it.
You and I were thinking the same.
Say it.
So we're going to end with the top 5, not top 6. Shield number 1.
Shield number 1, yes.
How can we blow out the 2014 with a book kind of based on the TV show that's being created for its own?
The TV show's on hiatus, but not the comic. The last thing to be released at the year is a number 1 issue.
Written by Mark Waid, which...
Kingdom Come.
I think we'll have to add him to the list of people to try and bring on to Mighty Marvel Geeks for you folks.
Love to get that guy on the mic.
High-tech weapons, high-stakes missions, high-octane adventure. For the men and women of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's just another day in the field. I swear, this is interns writing this.
It almost sounds Seussian. High-tech weapons, high-tech missions. Would you eat them on a box? Would you eat them with a fox? For the men and women of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's just another day in the field.
Special Agent Phil Coulson brings together the best and the brightest, the gifted and the elite, normal people and superhumans from across the fleet. I mean, from across the Marvel Universe on a...
Now as, you're doing it.
As on a as-needed basis to comfort, combat, and curtail dangers beyond the scope of any conventional peacekeeping force. And breathe. Writer Mark Waid... most known for Daredevil, and the rotating crew of Mission Specific top flight Marvel artists make you one promise. Every issue, 20 pages, one mission, unlimited budget, unlimited imagination, six periods, and a helper monkey. Helper monkey?
Helper monkey?
Welcome
to... Oh my
to...
God, there is a helper monkey on the cover. I am not... I never saw this until you said it. Okay, we have on the cover, you have Coulson, of course.
You got Sky.
You have May, you have Sky, you have Fitz, and you have a monkey.
Yep.
And in the background, you have all these superheroes. You know, like you have the Sam Wilson Captain America. You got Thor-et over there. You've got, you know, the Fantastic Four, Daredevil,
Miss Marvel,
Iron Fist. Yes, Miss Marvel, the Thing.
Yep.
That over there looks almost like Star Fox there. Vision, yep. Spider-Woman, and I'm almost expecting to see Howard the Duck in here somewhere.
One can hope. One can hope. So. Welcome to Level 8. Welcome to S.H.I.E.L.D.
There you go.
Can't wait. So that's going to kind of wrap it up for this week, for this year. It has been my pleasure to have Eric join the show for the tail end of the year. And if you've liked what we've done so far, can you only imagine what 2015 is going to be like?
Yeah, we may actually get it right then.
I'm just going to go back real quick. I'm going to have one worse of 2014, only because it's been so much fun to pick on it. Worst movie news for an anticipated movie that's not even out yet, which is probably going to be worst of 2015. Fantastic flop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And of course, with Doom from Schmertz.
Doom! Okay, Doom for him too. Wow! If I had a nickel for every time I was doomed by a puppet, I'd have two nickels, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice, right?
Yes, that is not going to get old.
No, especially...
Yes, yes, everyone. Doom, 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 and doom.
There you have it. Any final words for the year?
I will say thank you for letting me join this show. Like I said earlier, I was enjoying listening to it beforehand, and I'm just happy to be a part of it. You know this, I'm not sure the listeners know, but I used to be a comic book artist back in the early 90s, around 93, 94, mainly as part of what has been called The Glut. That's a lovely thought, isn't it? I was a comic book artist, editor, letterist, and colorist for an outfit called Dagger Comics that was based in Montgomery, Alabama. They had three titles with a good bit more in the works when the company went down. But that was a fantastic time in my life. I got to meet some of my comic book, you know, artists and writer heroes from when I was growing up, and it's good to be delving back into that world. So thank you for the opportunity, Nod.
It's been my pleasure. And I think we have a great chemistry, and we're just going to explode that some more next year.
Knock it out of the park in 2015. That's my goal right there.
Well, we did hit the milestone of 50 episodes or 50 issues, as we say here. This is actually podcast-wise issue 54. So, you know, we've gone a little over a year. So we've celebrated a one-year anniversary. We've celebrated a 50-issue milestone. I want to thank Sorcerer Radio for allowing us to be here as well. And
I would point out, this show is not... Since I do a show on Sorcerer Radio as well, this is not the same kind of show that you hear throughout the rest of the week. So this is very much a talk-oriented show. And yeah, some people are going, well, where's my Disney music? But, you know, it's a good change of pace.
Yeah.
So,
well, while we're on break, it's not Disney music. It'll be Marvel music. So we're going to have a all Marvel music special for you guys for the next 2 weeks until we're back. Until next time, I say happy holidays to everyone. I know it's the PC thing, but there's just so many holidays to cover this time of year.
Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. Solstice. Whatever you're celebrating this time of the year, hope you have a blast.
Exactly.
We'll see you on the other side of New Year's.
Be safe, everyone, because we definitely want you guys to be listening to us when you get after the holidays, during the holidays. So from us to you, happy holidays, be safe, and until next time, I think it's time to go dark.